The fourth term used in the definition of supply, license. What happens in a license? One person grants to another or to a definite number of other persons a right to do or continue to do. So a right to do or continue to do, such right is called a license. For example, Mr. X, a developer of an information technology software and holder of a license thereon. He has a license to use software and he gives it to different clients for rupees 18 lakhs. Here Mr. X is liable to pay GST because he has provided a right to use his license. Whether he transfers such right permanently or temporarily as the case may be, this transaction would be considered as a supply and hence Mr. X is liable to pay GST on this transaction. Next important term, rental, is used in the definition of supply. What do you mean by rental? It simply means periodic payment, some consideration for using another's property. For example, A owns a residential building in a prime commercial locality. A large vacant land in the backyard is given on rent. He is not using it, but he wants to earn money and hence he allows usage of such backyard for a rent of rupees 1,80,000 per month to a parking contractor. Mr. Bui, who has set up a parking facility on the said land, this would be considered as a supply, a taxable supply of service, and hence Mr. A is liable to pay GST. However, there are exceptions, especially whenever rental is considered. These exceptions of renting is chargeable at nil rate. So which are these exceptions? Number one, renting of vacant land for agricultural purpose. Number two, renting of house property for residential purpose. Number three, renting of any property by a government or local authority to a non-business entity. Number four, renting of precincts of a religious place meant for general public. And finally, renting of a hotel, inn, guest house for residential or lodging purpose having a declared tariff of room below rupees 1,000 per day. So these are the exceptions wherein renting is chargeable to a nil rate. Next important term included in the license, in the definition of supply, is lease. What do you mean by lease? It's an agreement whereby the lessor conveys to the lessee in return for a payment or a series of payments the right to use an asset for an agreed period of time. Take an example. M Bank Limited has given an asset under financial lease to N Limited. Repayment of financial lease made by the customer to the bank, rupees 80 lakhs, which includes the principal amount of rupees 50 lakhs also. Financial lease shall be taxed as supply of service because it is a lease and hence M Bank Limited would be liable to pay the GST. And the final term that is used in the definition of supply is disposal. What do you mean by disposal? Selling of assets when the organization is about to close down and various assets are required to be disposed of. So such transaction shall also be considered supply and hence liable to GST. So friends, these are the various terms that are used under the definition of supply, can be considered supply. GST would be liable. We have seen certain exceptions also. Now, for a supply, consideration is important. What is the meaning of consideration? Consideration means anything received or recoverable in return for goods or services. It includes monetary payment, any consideration of non-monetary nature, or deferred consideration also. So, consideration is a very broad definition. It may not have only monetary payment, it can also include a non-monetary nature or deferred consideration. Now, there are certain activities treated as supplies even made without consideration. Which are the number one? Permanent transfer or disposal of business assets where the input tax credit has been availed on such assets. Example, CZ Limited upgrades its computer system. The existing computers and laptops which do not support the upgrade version are donated to a trust. This amounts to a permanent transfer of business assets. The same will be treated as supply even though this is considered as a donation and hence liable to GST in the hands of Z Limited. The second example of activities treated as supply even if made without consideration can be supply of goods or services or both between the related person or between the distinct persons when made in the course or furtherance of business. Gifts not exceeding rupees 50,000 in value in a financial year by an employer to an employee shall not be treated as a supply of goods or services or both. One important requirement for considering a supply is that supply should be made in the course or furtherance of a business. What do we mean by this? Supplies that are in the course or furtherance of business qualify as supply under GST, otherwise not. Any supplies made by an individual in his personal capacity do not come under the ambit of GST because it is not made in the course or furtherance of the business. So this is a very important point to be noted. Sale of goods or services as a vocation is a supply. For example, a famous politician paints painting for charity and sells the painting as a one-time occurrence. The sale would constitute a supply. So when we talk in terms of in the course or furtherance of business, this particular aspect, it should not be of some personal capacity supply. It can be a vocation. It can be in the course or furtherance of the business for attracting GST. Another important requirement of supply is supply should be made by a taxable person. We have already seen a taxable person is a person who is registered or liable to be registered under section 22 or 24. A supply between two non-taxable persons does not constitute supply. A person not liable to be registered but has taken voluntary registration and got himself registered will be considered as a taxable person. So these points are to be very, very clearly noted. A taxable person has to take registration. Supply between two non-taxable person would not constitute supply. Whereas if a person who is not liable to be registered but has taken voluntary registration and got himself registered will be considered as a taxable person. Another important requirement for supply is supply should be of a taxable supply. Goods and services should be taxable. The GST rate will be charged on it and it should not be covered in any exemption notification. Supply should be made within the taxable territory. Taxable territory means the territory to which the provisions of CGST, IGST apply. Further, for a supply to attract GST, the place of supply should be in India. This is very important because GST Act is enacted in India and would be applicable in India, and hence for supply to attract GST, the place of supply should also be in India. Now let us understand the scope of supply. All forms of supply of goods or service or both, such as a sale, transfer, barter, exchange, license, rental, lease or disposal, made or agreed to be made for a consideration by a person in the course furtherance of business will be coming under the scope of supply. Import of services for a consideration, whether or not in the course of furtherance of business, would come under the scope of supply. So now let us look at the four types of supply. Supply can be based on location, supply can be based on combination, supply can be based on recipient, and supply can be based on tax treatment. Let us go by one. First, supply based on location. When we see location, it can be an intrastate supply, it can be an interstate supply. In case of an intrastate supply, supply of goods or services within the same state or union territory is called as an intrastate supply. The GST rate for the supply of goods or service would remain the same. However, the GST rate and tax amount are divided equally into two heads, CGST and SGST. For example, in case of an intrastate supply in Karnataka, that is supplying by a person from a Mangalore to Bangalore, it is taxable simultaneously under Section 9 of CGST Act and Section 9 of the Karnataka State GST Act. If the GST rate is 18%, then 9% would be charged under Section 9 of CGST Act and 9% would be charged under Section 9 of SGST Act. So the total rate is split up between CGST and SGST in case of an intrastate supply. The second type of supply based on location is interstate supply. Supply of goods or services from one state to another would be called as an interstate supply. Location of the supplier and the place of supply for the customer are in two different states or two different union territories or a state and a union territory. It also will include supply of goods imported into India as an interstate supply. Supply of goods or services to or by special economic zone developer or a special economic zone unit situated within the same state is also classified as an interstate supply. Interstate supply attracts IGST and it cannot be more than 40%. So that is the cap for IGST. In this case, CGST and SGST or UTGST is not applicable. And if we have to take an example, if the GST rate is 5%, the entire 5% is charged as IGST. There is no splitting into CGST or anything else. Now let us understand supply based on combination. Here we'll understand the composite supply first, and then we'll go on to understanding the mixed supply and understand the meaning between the composite supply and the mixed supply. Composite supply means a supply made by a taxable person to a recipient consisting of two or more taxable supply of goods or services or both or any combination thereof which are naturally bundled. So this naturally bundled is a very important term used in the composite supply. It is not only naturally bundled and supplied in conjunction with each other in the ordinary course of business, and one of them is a principal supply. We'll understand this with a specific example. In case of a composite supply, the GST rate applicable on the principal supply shall be applicable on the entire consideration. For goods that are packed and transported with insurance. Now there are two aspects in this supply. One thing is goods, second thing is insurance. The supply of goods, packing materials, transport and insurance is a composite supply. And the principal supply would be supply of goods. Another important example of composite supply can be supply of a laptop and the carry case, supply of equipments and installation of the same, supply of repair services on a computer along with the requisite parts, supply of healthcare services along with medicaments. So all these are examples of a composite supply. Let us understand the term principal supply in more detail. Principal supply means the supply of goods or services which constitutes the predominant element of a composite supply and to which other supply forming part of a composite supply is ancillary. For example, a free Wi-Fi service is provided during stay in the hotel. The predominant supply is accommodation, whereas Wi-Fi are provided for better enjoyment, and hence it supports the principal supply. Having understood what is a composite supply, now let us understand what is a mixed supply. Mixed supply means two or more individual supplies of goods or services, or any combination thereof, made in conjunction with each other by a taxable person for a single price, where such supply does not constitute a composite supply. So what's the main difference? Let us understand with the example. A supply of package consisting of canned foods, sweets, chocolates, cakes, dry fruits, aerated drinks and fruit juice, when supplied for a single price, is a mixed supply. What's the difference? In a mixed supply, each of these items can be supplied separately and is not dependent on any other. It is not naturally bundled. Mixed supply consisting of two or more supplies shall be treated as a supply of that item which has the highest tax rate. So the highest tax rate of any item of the mixed supply will be considered as the tax rate for the mixed supply. The next important classification is based on recipient. Here we are having two types of supplies, the inward supply and the outward supply. Inward supply means receipt of goods or services or both, whether by purchase, acquisition or any other means without consideration. Outward supply in relation to the taxable person means supply of goods or services or both, whether by sale, transfer, barter, exchange, license, rental, lease or disposal or any other mode made or agreed to be made by such person in the course or furtherance of business. And finally, the classification based on the tax treatment, non-taxable supply of goods and services. Non-taxable supply is the sale of any goods or services which attracts nil rate of tax and is similar to the exempt supply. Now let us understand the transactions considered as supply under Schedule 1, even if consideration is absent. For example, GST is applicable for permanent transfer of business assets even if supply is made without consideration. Supply between related or distinct persons is treated as supply even if made without consideration. Supply between principal and agent shall be treated as supply, and there is hence taxability. Schedule 2, transactions considered as supply. Any transfer of title in goods is considered supply of goods. Any transfer of rights in goods without a transfer of title is considered supply of services. A lease, tenancy, license to occupy land is considered supply of services. A lease or letting out of the building for business commerce is considered as supply of services. Transactions considered as supply under Schedule 2 also include job work process. That is, any process applied to another person's good is treated as supply of service. Transfer of business assets and use of business goods for non-business use is treated as supply of goods. Renting of a hotel in guest house for residential purpose is exempt if the value of service of unit of accommodation is rupees 1000 or less. More than 1000 but not exceeding 7500 per day, GST is 12%. More than 7500 per day, GST is 18%. So this latest rates needs to be confirmed, and accordingly applicability happens. Transactions considered schedule under supply under Schedule 2 can also include temporary transfer of any intellectual property rights, and development of IT software is taken as deemed supply. Supply of goods by an association of persons, body of individuals to its members considered as deemed supply. Works contracting supply of goods for human consumption is also treated as composite supply. Transactions that are treated neither as supply of goods or service, this list is called as negative list. So which items comes under this list? Service by an employee to an employer, service by any court, district court, high court, supreme court, functions performed by an MP or an MLC, members of local authorities, chairperson, director of state, central government, semi-government, funeral services, sale of land and sale of building, actionable claims other than lottery, betting and gambling, supply from non-taxable territory to another non-taxable territory without such goods entering into India, the liquor license granted by the government, supply by the endorsement of documents by the consignee, notified activities undertaken. So this would be considered in the negative list. Now we have another category which is called as exempt supplies. It has three types of supplies. The first one is supplies made at a nil rate of tax. Second one is supplies that are wholly or partially exempted from CGST or IGST by way of notification. And the third one is non-taxable supplies as defined under section 2 subsection 78, supplies that are not taxable under the act. Example, alcoholic liquor for human consumptions. Now let's see what is a zero rated supply. Zero rated supplies refers to items that are taxable under GST, but the rate of tax is nil. For example, exports of goods or services. Another example, supply of goods or services to a SEZ developer or an SEZ unit. So whenever you do an export, since it's a zero rated supply, there won't be any GST applicable as the rate of tax is nil. Now friends, let us cover certain important aspects of supply, because supply will not be only when the supplier provides goods and or services to a consumer. There can be different scenarios of supplies. One amongst them is a job work. What does a job work means? Job work means any treatment or process undertaken by a person on goods belonging to another registered person, and the expression job worker shall be constituted accordingly. So here the important aspect is the treatment or the process undertaken. There can be various scenarios under this job work, like goods sent out for job work must be accompanied with a challan. Goods sent must be received back by the principal within the period mentioned. There can be two scenarios here when we talk in terms of the period mentioned. Number one, when there are inputs, semi-finished or finished goods, the period mentioned is 1 year. When there are capital goods, the period mentioned is 3 years. 3 years of being sent out by the principal to the job worker. In case where the goods sent have not been received back within the period stipulated, such goods will be treated as supplied to the job worker by the principal. So here a presumption of a supply happens in this particular scenario. Further, the tax will be required to be paid by the principal on such deemed supply. The correct word is deemed supply. Principal may on his own receive back the goods after processing from the job worker. Supply to this customers from the place of business of job worker. Under both the situation, the ITC paid on purchase of goods sent on job work will be allowed to the principal. So these are important provisions relating to the job work. Next, we move on to the waste and scrap generated during the initial process, intermediate process, assembly, packing, or any other completion process. This may be sold on payment of tax by the job worker if he holds a registration, or by the principal if the job worker does not hold a registration. So this is a specific treatment as far as the waste and scrap that is generated during the initial process or during the intermediate process, or even it can be during the assembly, packing, or any other completion process. Now, having understood various aspects of GST computation, we have seen that if we have to compute GST, the GST is computed on the value of supply of goods or services. And all the acts, whether it's CGST, SGST, IGST, they have a specific provision on how to determine the value of supply of goods or services. The value of supply of goods or services in a case where the consideration is wholly in money, the transaction value shall be considered for payment of tax. So transaction value determines the value of supply of goods and services, and there will be various inclusions prescribed in the valuation provisions. In the next few slides, we will come to a slide where we will get all the inclusions that can come in the value of supply, and we will also be clear about the exclusions from the value of supply, and this will help us to find out the transaction value on which the tax has to be paid. Now, which are the inclusions in the valuation? Number one inclusion is any taxes, duties, cesses, fees, charges levied under any statute other than SGST, UTGST, CGST and IGST. Any amount that the supplier is liable to pay in relation to such supply, but which has been incurred by the recipient of the supply and not included in the price actually paid or payable for the services. The third inclusion can be the incidental expenses. The fourth inclusion can be interest or late fee or penalty for the payment for any consideration of supply. And finally, the fifth inclusion can be the subsidies directly linked to the price, excluding the subsidies provided by the central and state government. So here we have clear-cut provisions on what all inclusions can be done in the value of the supply of goods and services. As I said before, just like there is clarity on inclusions in the value of supply, there is also clarity on exclusions from the value of supply of goods and services. The first important exclusion is the discount. Transaction value will exclude discount, any type of discount. Post-supply discounts will not be included in the transaction value if it is established as per the agreement and is known at or before or after the supply. Now, there is specific provision relating to the exclusion of discount. Any discount that is given before or at a time of supply or after the supply. When we talk about any discount that is given before or at a time of supply, this is a single condition. That is, discount is fully recorded in the invoice. However, when the discount is given after the supply, this is an example of a cumulative condition. For example, agreements establishing discount entered into before at a time of supply, discount specifically linked to the relevant invoices, ITC reversed by the recipient to the extent of discount, this all will be included under the cumulative conditions after the supply. Thank you.